Again, I think you have to manage them regardless of Sunday or beyond. You know, I like the fact that we've got it done when we did as it relates to, every year the trade deadline is X, and this year we were able to get it done weeks before, which is good. And I know that every year presents different challenges with things like that. You know, again, we'll see how we go this week, and we'll see how we go. And again, it's never about one person or one player. It's about the team, and I thought we were in a good rhythm the other night on offense and continuing with that rhythm.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Good morning. Happy Thursday, Jeremy and Joe. Cold one out there.
Frost on the windshields, potentially.
Frost, yeah. I had frost. 37 right now. Mm-hmm. High of 57 today. And then, in the 60s for days. Even in the 70s next week. So, that's nice. Sabres lost. If you want to grumble about it with us. We grumbled a lot in the first segment.
Yes, we did.
Although,
it's what we do.
Sometimes. I would say mine was not full grumble. And I don't think it was rose-colored glasses. It was just, how do I say it in the shortest version? I think they show signs of a team that will have strong stretches. Last year's team is hard to imagine. Mm-hmm. They're going to go 6-2 in a stretch. They didn't win back-to-back games ever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a team I think will have stretches. They've got the goalie. They can get a hot goalie. They have two that can get hot. They're pretty good at 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. And if they can just figure anything out on the power play.
And breakaways.
And, sure.
I think they're 0-5 on breakaways.
Breakaways, yes.
They should get Al Kotalik in there to fix them and someone else on the power play.
So it's disappointing. I'm going to wait till the end of the road trip to be upset because I wanted 5 out of 6 points and they got 1, which matters. And, we'll see.
Crosby and Malkin, by the way. Do you want to guess where they rank all time in points against the Buffalo Sabres?
1 and 2.
They're not 1 and 2.
Tied for 1. 1 and 1A.
7th and 15th.
Okay. Crosby 7.
I don't know that you would ever get number 1. I wouldn't have got number 1.
Number 1 is like Daniel Alfredson.
No, that's a good guess though. He's 6th. He's above Crosby.
Number 1 all time against the Sabres, is it modern era?
Ish.
Like is it
Yeah, it's modern era. I mean,
it's my era.
It was in color.
It was in color.
I don't know that he played in HD though.
Okay.
It was definitely in color, and I don't know if it was in HD. He might have been really close. When did HD start?
Which
2006, actually, I think they had HD because they would have the Sabres games in HD, but then when they would go to the different camera angles, like behind the net, then it would not be in HD, and there would be the little cup graphics on the left and right.
Team?
He retired in 2004.
Okay, team?
Hartford, Pittsburgh, Carolina, Toronto.
Ron Francis?
Ron Francis is number 1 all time against the Sabres. Would have never guessed that.
He scored 1 million points.
Yeah. 114 points against the Sabres.
How many goals?
36.
There you go.
Yeah.
Assist merchant.
Yep. He always was.
You know, the most goals all time is Jágr and then Alfredson.
Alfredson too. Okay.
Yeah, Alfredson killed them. Jeez.
803-0550. Okay, so in that clip, we'll get a Sabres call in or two and Bills calls as well. McDermott says it's not, it's not just about one guy. For me right now, it is. I am changing my expectations for the Bills because of the Cooper trade. And it doesn't mean I think they're definitely going to win the Super Bowl and this is amazing and perfect, but I thought they had such a fatal flaw that I was having trouble buying into what they were going to be. And that goes back to training camp. They started off 3-0, and okay, maybe this is something. But then the Baltimore game and the Houston game and Shakir being limited and you've got nothing else, to me, it looked like as defenses were going to adjust, they had a problem so big that I couldn't buy in. Like, okay, they're going to be good. We're going to see what happens this year. You never know. Now with Cooper, I am changing that.
It felt like them going through the entire playoffs with the receiving core they had would have been nearly impossible. It would have been tough. It would have been so tough.
Not only that, it would have been malpractice to do it. You have a team this good, you can't go in with a hole that big.
Right.
And
in a position that important.
Right. Imagine a hockey team. It looks pretty good, but they've just got no goaltending, and you'd say you can't go into the playoffs like that. You could pray that things get better. So the Cooper trade, it's just one guy, but it does change how I look at them this season. I now think they have a higher ceiling. I didn't think they could win the Super Bowl with the group of receivers that they had. Flat out, didn't think they could do it. And now I think it's more likely. I think it's possible you don't want to say impossible with Josh Allen because, he could get hot and go crazy, but they were just so limited on the outside unless Keon Coleman grew really fast and became a force, I didn't think it was going to happen. And with Cooper, I think the possibility exists in a way that it did not before. So it is about one guy for me.
And I do think it's kind of the end of the managed expectations for the Bills. I don't want to say it's the end of the transition year idea, because they did transition, right? Like, there are so many players that went out the door. Even if they had gotten better, you would still have to say, well, they did transition, because there were so many different people and so many top players that left in the offseason. But in terms of what their expectation is right now versus what it's been, it's right back to where it's been. Like, training camp was a lot of, hey, just get in and see what happens and cross your fingers. And now they have a good record, 4-2. They have a couple of bad losses, but they're 4-2. They have a 2-game lead in the division, or I should say a game and a half, because Miami's played one fewer game. So they have a game and a half lead in the division through 6 weeks. And the one roster spot that everyone was most worried about has now been sufficiently corrected, or should be sufficiently corrected. What's left to really be super? If Cooper works out, what's left to be really concerned about? That'd be my way of thinking about it. On the roster, the schedule's tough. I'm not worried about the division. So, like, outside forces, I'm not as worried as I was. And then internal forces on the roster, like, what is the thing I'm supposed to be worried about right now?
Two answers: safeties and run defense.
Okay,
but that's
those are my biggest worries. Though generally, I think I'm doing pretty well.
Well, you and I are likely aligned. We want the strength of the team to be the offense, and you want to have a top five offense.
Yeah.
You generally don't win without one of those, at least not win big. I mean, the Chiefs did, but probably shouldn't have.
Uh-huh.
So, safeties, defensive line, maybe. And there's Bean yesterday talking about how he might not be done, which is a good thing to hear. And this is, you know, if something else comes up, we need something else.
The Cooper trade allows them to do another deal if they want to spend the picks, because financially it doesn't really do anything. It's $800,000.
So Twitter poll is, if you were to guess going forward today, I didn't know when to start this. You know, it could start it in a week or two if you think it's going to take Cooper to get some ramp-up time. Who's going to lead this team in receptions? Who's going to lead them in catches from this day forward? You've got three options: Cooper, Kincaid, or Shakir. Who would you vote for? I would bet Cooper.
I would. It's not Shakir for me. It's between him and Kincaid. I don't know that Shakir's healthy right now.
That's going to be a limiting factor.
A little bit. And I don't know. Snap count was down against the Jets, and I wonder how long it might take him to look like he's healthy again. And Kincaid's one of these guys where you just look up and like, oh, he had 6 catches in the game. It doesn't even really feel like it. He's more of a possession player to me. So, I don't know. I think Cooper's going to help him, too. That's the other part of this. So, I might slightly give the edge for me to Kincaid. But it would be hard not to pick. It's hard not to pick Cooper.
Cooper's
going to lead them in receiving yards. I'm very sure of that.
That's probably right. He was averaging 9 targets a game in Cleveland with Deshaun Watson. And I don't think he'll stay at 9. But it doesn't take a big number of targets to be number one on this team. What if he gets 7 a game? Like, before Shakir got hurt, right? The first 3 games of the season, he had 3, 5, and 6. Now, I guess you could point out the Bills only played half a game in 2 of those. They didn't really need to play the second half against Jacksonville. They didn't need to play the second half against Miami.
Yeah.
So Shakir, what's he top out at for targets per game? 7?
Mm-hmm. And tops out at that.
And Cooper, for most of his career, he's just going to earn targets. I don't know how long it'll take him to get ramped up, a week, 2, a month all the way, whatever. But some of the highlights yesterday that showed the facility showed that Cooper has just a way about him, a pro's pro. And they pulled up a highlight of the Bills against man coverage against the Texans and not many guys getting open and really sticky coverage. And then they showed a clip of Cooper. It wasn't exactly being pressed, but it was man coverage on the outside. And here's Emmanuel Acho breaking it down. Like, the defensive back's job, he's shaded to the inside leverage. Don't let Amari Cooper get inside here on a slant. That's the whole job. I'm lined up there. I'm going to stop him from doing that. And they snap the ball, and Cooper takes a couple steps, but he slow plays it. Like, he plays at a different tempo.
Yeah.
It's not a full speed route. It's change of speed matters a lot. and he slow plays a couple steps, puts a foot in the ground, and he smokes that dude to the inside. The whole time. The whole play was, don't get beat to the inside, and he absolutely just murdered him. Going to the inside, caught a touchdown pass. That's this year from Deshaun Watson. So, like, I feel like I'm going to see the best corner following him, or the best matchups.
Yeah.
They're gonna make a point to try and stop him, and I don't think he's Jefferson, Chase, Prime Diggs, anything like that, but if he's going to be a pro's pro outside receiver, I'm also going to lean into the Josh Allen part of this, Joe, which is Josh Allen likes to throw the ball a little bit deeper, a little down the field.
Yep.
I think once the chemistry is there, he's going to look to Cooper a lot. He threw the ball to Mac Hollins 6 times in a game.
Yeah.
And Cooper's going to have a 10-target game this season.
For sure he is. He might have multiple. Maybe I could be talked into Cooper actually is the right answer here. Because if he is as good as he's been, like if he's last year's version of Cooper, and maybe even to an extent this year's version, he's going to earn Allen's targets. He's going to get them. Because he's going to be playing the same role. He's going to be running the same routes as Diggs was, right? And who got the ball by far the most in this offense with Josh Allen? It was the Diggs spot. It was running all the routes. It was running the intermediate stretches of the field. It was once in a while being somebody who was going to take a shot down the field to. So if Cooper is going to be... I saw a route against Dallas earlier in the year that was someone point out on Twitter, like, this is the vertical element that he has that nobody else in the Bills does, where he sells the corner, maybe on the same thing, like, he sells the corner on, I'm going to run the slant, and then he puts his left foot in the ground, and he shoots past him, and he's open by 20 yards, and this is one of his drops of the year, which, that's probably going to happen with him, too. There's probably going to be a couple plays this year where Bills fans are going to lose their minds because Amari Cooper is going to be wide open and drop a football. That's kind of the deal with him a little bit. But what was that play? That play was he cooked a corner, and he's open 30 yards down the field. Josh Allen is going to see that.
He's going to look for it.
He's going to look for it. He's going to hunt for it, and that pass is going to get thrown to him. So, yeah, like, why? I guess if it goes well, if he's good, why should I not expect that he's going to be the exact same?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Target share that he's been everywhere else. There's not like there's so many other guys that would rob him of targets in the Bills offense. It's not the same as the Jets, right? Like the Jets add Devontae Adams and it's, well, how's this going to go? Because Garrett Wilson's already there and Rodgers loves Alan Lazard. He throws the ball to him all the time. So who gets what? Is Wilson now the number two? Is Adams the number one? Who is he going to look to? Good problems to have. Those are all good receivers. Here, I just don't know who gets in Cooper's way if Cooper is good. Cooper's really good. Who is really getting in his way?
Yeah.
There's nobody else that is a Garrett Wilson level of player, and there's also nobody else that runs the type of routes that Cooper runs on this team.
At the risk of doing the thing we always do, which is look back to past results, maybe nostalgia, maybe as a model, when Beasley caught 100 balls, there was somebody on the outside catching 100 balls, like somebody else out there. So Shakir getting more space in there, and the other guy on the outside, Allen, is going to look there quite a bit.
Have a text. I mean, he's been trusting in Mac Hollins.
Right.
Right. And isn't Cooper just going to be Mac Hollins now? Sorry, like he'll be better than that, but he's going to be running in the same spots. Allen looks like he trusts Hollins more than anybody else in the field sometimes.
I like what you said, though, when you asked, like, is this the end of the year in transition?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I think it pretty much is.
Even though we know it is. Like, we can kind of put it to the side and stop talking about it being a year in transition if they lose a game in November.
As an excuse for, like, oh, guys, it's okay if they don't blank, whatever.
Yeah, we might kind of get to, they're not a perfect team. They've got some youth. Next year, they're going to add a lot. They've got dead cap space. So they got a couple things working against them. But I will now treat it less like a year in transition and more like a whatever. We don't have to put huge titles on it. Sometimes we do. I just have high expectations for them now. Like, does the Cooper trade change your expectation for the Bills? For me, it does. For me, it lifts a ceiling that I thought they had. I don't know how high it goes. We'll see how well the fit works and how Joe Brady can incorporate him. But the ceiling is lifted a bit. And that's good. That to do that in week six is a great move. Mm-hmm. I think it's a calculated move. It's noticing that we're good, but we're not good enough. That's what that trade says, is we're not good enough. The other question, of course, on the Bills is what happens at kicker? They tried out a couple. Mm-hmm. And Brandon Bean on the kicker yesterday, man, it is – I feel bad for Tyler Bass because – for the GM to openly talk about, like, listen, if we have to make a change, we're going to do it. That is as sharply pointed as Bean gets publicly on a player.
Yeah. And McDermott, too.
Yes.
McDermott the other day saying he knows he has to be better. That's not typically how McDermott phrases things, right?
Right. They've gone from a lot of faith in him, a lot of faith in him, he's going to be all right, a lot of faith in him, too. No, he has to get it right. He knows he has to get it right. Imagine how those conversations are behind the wall, inside those walls. I mean, it's Bass has to feel like he's fighting for a job, and he'll get another one if he were to be replaced. But the Bills are trying out kickers.
That's where they're in such an awkward spot, though, because like, are they gonna cut him? They're gonna eat the cap penalty.
I don't know.
Are they gonna roster him while they bring in another kicker?
I don't know how it would work, but
it's gonna be weird.
I know that I'm now at the point where the Packers cut their kicker, and I'm immediately checking, like, what are his stats?
Naverson, I think.
Brandon McManus is who got cut loose.
Brandon McManus, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he got cut loose. Wow.
Yeah. He
went from the Jags to the Packers. He was under investigation for, like, what? Inappropriate conduct on the flight, whatever.
Yeah, there was something like that.
So I don't know if that's the kind of player the Bills want, but a guy gets cut loose, and I want to see what's up.
Yeah. I don't like being spot.
No, you're right. They're releasing Braden Narveson.
They're signing
Brandon McManus.
Okay. I don't like being in a spot where Bean yesterday in the Pat McAfee show says a comment basically along the lines of, like, we don't have to be done, like, going into the trade deadline, and my first thought is about a kicker.
Kicker.
Because that's where my mind is. Like, what else would that not be number one on the list right now? Is that not the most – I asked, actually, you know, what is to be worried about on this Bills team right now? For how many people would they – right now, number one, be who their kicker is? Would most Bills fans say right now that their biggest worry is that there's going to be a playoff game or an important game down the stretch of the season that comes down to Tyler Bass's foot? Because who would have confidence in that right now? And it's the same problem. Is kicker more like golf than any other position? Because he has a fade. Even a slice. And I don't know how normal this is, but it's been about a year or maybe even a year and a half of this being a thing about how his kicks kind of leak to the right. How many kickers prefer to have it on the left hash mark? Like, maybe it is some. I don't know. I don't track this. But Bass for like a year now has been, when I get my extra point, I want it on the left hash mark. He's playing his fade. It really is like golf for that. And I feel like he can't fix it. He can't figure out how to fix it. Because a lot of his misses are like that. Not all of them. He shanked the extra point.
There have been the occasional shank.
There's been some shanks. That's the one that was early in the season too, right?
Yeah.
But everything
and
is
the one
like,
in New York, he looked like a shank that was blocked.
Yeah. But he looks like a kicker that is scared he's going to slice every kick. And I don't know how you overcome that. I also don't know who helps him with that. There's not really kicker coaches, right? You don't have a swing coach as a kicker. I think it's just up to you to figure it out, I think.
Special teams coach.
Would he be a kicking expert? I'm like, hey, your foot's too open on that. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. 803-0550. You'll get a call in here from John in Marilla. Hey, John. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Sorry to change gears on you real quick. Kudo to Beans with the trades he's making. Keep up the good work. However, on the other end of the spectrum, Kevin Adams.
Mm-hmm.
When are the Sabres going to let him go? And this Halloween could be the earliest that we are out of the playoff race yet. And the reason I say that is because watching that game last night, it just solidified the fact. Yeah, we beat Florida without their two best players. That was a good win. I'll give them that. However, Kevin Adams has misidentified talent so badly, and is so evident that I don't think that there's any chance that he's going to be able to rectify this. Because, you know, Dylan Cousins is a great third line center. He's great. He'll thrive on the third line. He can't compete on the second and first lines against people. It's evident, and it pisses me off because it all dates back to when he had to fight Philly's toughest guy, and we had nobody to stick up for him. And ever since that fight, he has not been the same player. And then, you know, we do not have any first-line players on our team. The trade for Eichel, we got Tuck, who was a third-line winger for Vegas, and we got Krebs, who was the crux of the deal, who Vegas had going into their top two lines. And we completely flip-flop it. We come in, and we're going to put a square peg in a round hole and say, okay, Tuck, you're our first-line winger. That, you know, that's great and dandy. It doesn't work like that. You know, and then we underdevelop Krebs, and we put him with two guys who can't even play hockey and say, oh, you know, he's not developing the way we want him to. Well, of course he's not going to. Okay? I mean, and then, you know, Dahlin getting in a fight in practice. He's the captain. Yeah, I like it. That's fine and dandy. He's playing terrible. He's either hurt or something else is going on, because our defense is not good. Okay, we've changed everything. We've changed coaches. Kevin Adams, in my opinion, has until Thanksgiving to have the Sabres in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving, a top eight. And if it's not there, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. It's ridiculous how misidentified the talent is on this team. We can't compete with good teams. And last night was a gross example of it. And I don't blame any of it on Lindy, because, you know, right now, if we want to skate with teams, that's great. We're not going to be able to do it, because we don't have a first line to compete with other teams' first lines.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. The first line to me is not the issue. I like their first line a lot when it's been together. They've only been together for two games this year.
Yep.
I almost feel like they need to spread the wealth, because they need to get, like, Cousins going.
Like, get the kid line back together?
Sure. Or even just switch them. Switch Thompson and Cousins.
Sure, but then that's where you get to who takes the Skinner spot, because you didn't replace that guy. I mean, you don't want that to be Zucker.
No, I mean, it has to be Benson. And he's going to do fine defensively. He's going to do a lot of smart plays, but he's not going to score 30 goals.
Well, I'm not...
On a couple things there. One, on Cousins. The idea that he is some defensive stalwart, like, oh, it's okay if he's not scoring because he's good defensively, like, oh, he's a good third-line center, that is not represented in the numbers at all. And if you've watched him for the last couple of years, he is not a great defender. Last year, evolving hockey, his goals above replacement, like where he ranks in the league by percentile, defensively, he was in the 19th percentile last season. Year before that, he was in the second percentile. He's been a bad defensive center for 2 years now.
Yeah.
So that part of his game is also not just like there as a baseline. And on Adams, I don't know. I kind of want to say I don't expect them to move on him. But at the same time, I also want to remember that I did not think they were going to move on Granato, and they did.
But a mid-season GM?
Not mid-season. I don't think mid-season.
And who's the next GM? Carmanos?
They did do that with Darcy, right? They were fired Darcy Chance, and then they fired him like during the year. They hired LaFontaine.
It's a long time ago, but yeah.
It's like 10 years ago. They're not firing him midseason.
Thanks, John. 803-0550. Well, the thing I was going to say is, like, I don't know. I just won't say it. It was about Eichel. I just won't say it.
Darcy Regier was fired November 13th, 2013.
Okay, there you go. 803-0550. Sal at 8 on Amari Cooper and what we learned yesterday as the Bills introduce him. Number 18. Let's go. Get him in the lineup.
Should I start him in guillotine this week? I am desperate.
That's a great question.
Lost Rashid Shaheed. I got a Nico Collins injury on my bench. Dontavian Wicks is hurt.
Tonight's game, Thursday Night Football, is like, it's got a preseason vibe. Saints Broncos, Bo Nix, Spencer Rattler.
Yeah.
All of the Saints receivers are hurt. And by the way, Patrick Surtain is ruled out for this game. Broncos corner, one of the best corners in the league.
Yeah.
So it really might be Bub Means season.
Bub Means, because Olave and Shaheed are out.
Both out.
Taysom Hill, I think, is out. He's not a receiver, but.
Bub Means. Get ready.
Was Rattler good last week? They
scored a lot of points in one quarter.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, they ended up losing 51-27.
Yes.
Holy cow.
803-0550. Baker had a big day in that game. Broncos and Saints, Thursday Night Football. Catch the fever. Sabres and Blue Jackets. Pick your poison. Jeremy and Joe, we'll talk with Sal at 8. We'll talk with Nathan Zagura, who is a Browns radio analyst, coming up at 8:30 to get the Browns side of the story on Amari Cooper. And keep rolling here as we take you through this very chilly Thursday morning on WGR.